Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us today to talk through what we're seeing in the rail markets. As always, hard to believe we're at the end of October. It'll be Halloween this weekend, and then we'll be into November, and the foot race to the end of the year will be on. It'll be time to start thinking about holidays and getting your supply chain, getting your budgets in order for 2022. Hard to believe we're already there. We're already at that point. And so let's talk about where we are as we head into the stretch run of 2021. First of all, not a lot's going on the volume side. Things are really pretty steady. And on whether it's carload or intermodal, there's just a lack of momentum in terms of volume performance. It's not really moving in any particular direction. When you think about the intermodal loadings, they really have just adhered to a seasonal trend. They're below their five-year average. They're below last year, and they're just sort of hanging out at 350,000 carloads a week. Now, a lot has been made of the recent changes that have been made out at the Ports Valley Long Beach, going to 24/7 operations, the Western carriers offering rebates to encourage shippers to use those off-peak windows, nights, weekends, holidays, etc. We've also seen now the introduction of fines for rail-focused containers that don't leave the port within 3 days. That's going to put a lot of pressure on the railroads and shippers to get cargo moving. We'll have to see if it has a meaningful effect on the amount of intermodal volume moving by rail. Obviously, a lot of these changes, a lot of these new procedures, new penalties, if you will, they have not made their way into the data as of yet. They're too new for that, but they certainly could have the effect of moving things a little bit higher. There was a story just this morning talking about how the Port of Long Beach is working with the Union Pacific to move containers out to Utah for local delivery. Now, that helps some shippers in the Intermountain West. If you're going to Salt Lake City, Ogden, Twin Falls, Idaho, Denver, Colorado, folks, places in Wyoming, that could be a help. But that's not really where the bulk of the volume moves in intermodal. Most of it moves all the way into Chicago, and there hasn't been anything articulated about any sort of plan for that business. So it'll be very interesting to see as we go forward what happens to intermodal loadings. Do they respond to these numbers? Do they move up? Do they actually move down? Do shippers want to move volumes by truck? Because if they move them by truck, they get 9 days to sit at the port rather than three. And is that helpful for some shippers, that additional 6 days? We'll just have to see. On the trailer side of intermodal, it's really a pretty flat picture, really a very seasonal picture. We're below our five-year average, but we're just following the typical seasonal trends, right around 23,000 or so carloads a week, and that number really hasn't moved a whole lot. You saw a little bit of a decline in September after Hurricane Ida and the Labor Day holiday, but not really a meaningful movement off of that number for the last several months. We've been right around that 23,000 trailer a week number. The container side of the house looks very similar to the overall intermodal picture, as you would expect, because containers are 90% of intermodal volume. So, of course, you would expect this graph to look very similar, and it does. We're just sort of treading water, right? About 330 or so thousand carloads a week, just hanging out there, not doing a whole lot, not moving very much at all. As we look to the carload side, as we sort of shift gears and go across the fence line, if you will, it's a very similar story in the carload market. Things are very flat, but we're at a very weak level. We're below our five-year average by really 20,000 carloads a week. That's a significant delta. We're up just about 1% compared to where we were last year, and the number really hasn't moved a whole lot. We saw a little bit of appreciation to the end of September, early October in volumes, but it hasn't continued to move on a four-week average basis. We've just sort of held our own here, and we're below where we were earlier in the year. We're below the prior peaks that we hit earlier in the year. A very similar trend, a very similar trajectory to what we're seeing in intermodal. A little bit worrisome for the carload space is that economically sensitive freight is holding close to the overall carload pattern, but a little bit weaker than the overall carload pattern. We're well below the five-year average. We are not even really a percent up year over year. We're really closer to flat in the economically sensitive commodities, and these are the things to remind you that are more closely tied to the underlying economy. Things like metals, things like automotive, things like lumber and wood, pulp and paper, commodities in those sorts of categories that are more closely tied to the economy. There's no coal, there's no ag, and there's no petroleum in this number. So it's sort of a purer look at the underlying economy, and what we're seeing is that we're below our five-year average, we're flat year over year, and there's not been a lot of momentum in one direction or the other as we've gone through the last 3 or 4 months. It's really held very close to that 195,000 carload a week level without very much at all to move it one way or the other. A little bit surprising in the bulk side of the carload house is the coal market. We've seen a pretty steep decline over the last 3 weeks in coal loadings, down close to 70,000 carloads a week, and that's surprising. The natural gas price has continued to increase. It's up near $6 per MMBTU when I last checked yesterday at close of business. And so things are continuing to encourage coal volumes for domestic utilities. There's certainly a lot of coal moving out there on the railroad through places like Galesburg and Ashland and other places across the national rail system. But so far, it's not as much as it was just a month ago. Things have throttled back a little bit as utilities try to get a handle on what their burn needs are going to be for the year ahead, for the winter that we're just about to head into. As I said at the open, we're through October at this point. We're heading into November. That means winter is coming. Winter is right around the corner, and that brings with it additional electricity demand for coal in a lot of parts of the country as heating demand goes up along with natural gas. Grain volumes. We are definitely seeing the harvest impact, continuing to stay strong right up to the five-year average and continuing to move beyond the five-year average. We would expect as we continue to move forward over the next several weeks, we would expect to see this number continue to move even higher as more crop comes in and gets processed and heads out to export ports, both on the U.S. Gulf Coast as well as the Pacific Northwest, for further transport. And so we would expect to see the grain volumes continue to show strength from now right through about February or so before we start to see things get back to five-year average levels. So we would expect this number to continue to rise for the next several months before it eases back. On the chemical side of the house, we have definitely bounced back from Hurricane Ida. We have come back pretty strongly from that to the levels, essentially the levels we were at right before Labor Day, right before Hurricane Ida came into the U.S. Gulf Coast, into the heart of a lot of that chemical manufacturing, that resin manufacturing that exists in Louisiana. And volumes have pretty well leveled off, right about 45,000 carloads a week. We haven't seen the typical seasonal slowdown. We are a couple thousand carloads a week above our five-year average. The chemical story has not really been affected in a meaningful way by the higher natural gas prices the way we thought it might just a few weeks ago. We've really sort of bounced back pretty quickly, and it looks like it really is an episodic effect from the hurricane and nothing more than that. Petroleum products loadings are definitely showing some weakness. We're definitely trending away from the five-year average, but we're still within the 19 to 20,000 car load range that we've held for much of the year. We haven't broken that range. We haven't broken out of that range at all. We continue to just hold ourselves within that 19 to 20,000 carload range, which is a little bit surprising given that we're at $83 a barrel oil. You would expect to see some of that additional petroleum move by rail. So far, We have not seen it. Looking at stone, sand, and gravel, not a lot to see here. Things have really been pretty quiet, pretty steady. Right around 26,000 carloads a week, with not a whole lot of momentum in either direction. On the lumber and wood side, we've seen a little bit of upward progress in the last couple of weeks, but ultimately it's just back to the five-year average. We're right back to about 6,500 carloads a week or so, right in line with typical seasonal, typical historical expectations, without much to see. On the pulp and paper side, we saw a bump in pulp and paper earlier in the year, and now that has abated. We're back essentially right in line, right about 8,000 carloads a week, right in line with our five-year average, up about 5% year over year on the pulp and paper side of the house, but right in line with its five-year average. On the automotive side, we've definitely seen some improvement in automotive in the last couple of weeks. Volumes have moved up. They've trended steadily up over the last, call it, month to 6 weeks. So the semiconductor shortage is not over, but maybe they're flowing a little bit more than they were earlier in this year. We're still 5,000 carloads a week below our five-year average. We're still down compared to where we were last year. So we're certainly not out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination, but we are at least improving a little bit in the automotive sector. If you break it down a little bit further, most of the upward momentum in automotive, nearly all of the upward momentum in automotive, is from Mexico. Many of you are aware there have been a lot of teachers' protests in Mexico that have blocked rail lines. Those seem to have abated over the last month, and so we may be seeing some of that automotive business that was trapped down there during the protest starting to move. Because if you break it down to the U.S. and Canada, there isn't the same upward momentum that we're seeing in Mexico for automotive volumes, and that means that as we go forward here, this increase that we've seen over the last several weeks could be temporary. It could reverse. It could be something that we peak out here in the next couple of weeks and then turn down. We'll just have to wait and see. And with that, we're going to wrap up. Even though the harvest is upon us, even though grain is performing very, very well, we haven't really lifted overall carload volumes very much at all. It's just held itself very, very close to where it has been. And it's particularly weak for economically sensitive freight, which is something everybody's going to have to keep their eye on as we go forward here. And intermodal, not a lot has gone on here in intermodal. We have essentially just held our ground. We'll have to see what the measures at LA Long Beach mean for long-term supply and demand. We'll have to see what it means. But overall, it has not moved the needle as of yet. We'll have to see if it does as we go forward, or if it simply creates more shipper agitation, more shipper frustration with the intermodal supply chain, and causes folks to look at truck more and more as opposed to intermodal. And with that, I want to thank you for joining us this week. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you being part of our weekly roundup of what goes on in the rail industry. As always, a reminder, feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team if we can be of assistance and help you better understand the rail markets, or you have questions, if you just want to talk about what you're seeing in the marketplace, feel free to reach out. We love to have those conversations about what's going on in transportation. It's always a blast to get the chance to talk to you all out there and hear what you're seeing out on the ground of logistics. And with that, have a great week. Have a great Halloween for those of you that have youngsters to go out and trick-or-treat with. Enjoy that, and we will talk to you again next week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and railcar. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.